We're going to turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6, if you would please. And we're going to begin reading in the 22nd verse, Matthew chapter number 6, and beginning in verse number 22. The Bible says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" And let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask your blessing upon the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you the best that I know how. And Father, I pray that nothing would be said from the pulpit this morning that does not bring honor and glory to your name. Father, we pray that you would do your work in our hearts and minds, and that you would adhere your eternal truth to our lives in a very practical way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This, of course, is Jesus' teaching on the importance of having the right perspective in life. The Bible says in the 22nd verse of our text, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." The concept here, it seems, is that what brings information into the body, the main source of it is what we experience through what we see. And in a metaphoric sense, it is from our perspective in life. And so the Bible says that if your eye be single, and it just simply means be uncomplicated. It's the difference between, you know, being folded once and being folded many times. And so it's single folded is the concept here of the word used as single in the Bible. It simply means that you see clearly, that you don't have a complicated perspective on life that isn't sincere and isn't readily available to all who interact with you. It's kind of that kind of putting on a show or being plastic in a sense, where there's ulterior motives and ulterior thoughts and ulterior things going on behind the scenes. And so God says, if your eye is single, if you look straightforward, if you don't have a bunch of ulterior motives and ulterior perspectives and ulterior thinking behind it, he said, then your whole body is full of light. But if thine eye be evil, and every, you notice when your eye is evil, anybody who's evil, now evil, the word evil doesn't just mean bad. The word evil means out to harm someone else. All right. And so the idea of evil is when you're looking to harm others, you're always sneaking around. You always have a duplicity of thoughts going behind your actions. And it's not sincere. And so this is the concept and idea. The bigger picture here of the text is the idea that how you see things really flavors your life in a great way. And we understand and know this. And we have practical illustrations or earthly material illustrations of all this time. We even have metaphors that we use, like that person always looks through life with rose-colored glasses. You know, it's the kind that they have a cheery disposition. They always are optimistic about things. Or even ourselves, when we put on different glasses, and you can go to the store and you can be where the sunglasses are, and there's all different colors and shades and different things, and you can put them on and get a different perspective over and over again. Not only that, but in this human world, of course, our eyes are imperfect, and many of us, we wear glasses, right, so we can see things more clearly. And that's the concept and idea. And even today when pictures are taken, you know, Brother Glenn will look through the camera and then he will adjust the focus on whether he wants to see you clearly or not, depending on who you are, right? And so that's how it works in life. And so we have all kinds of things through which we see the world and different lenses of our life. And let me just say, metaphorically speaking, in a spiritual sense, the same thing is true. Your worldview or the way you look at things, your perspective will affect every part of your life. And God says, if you have a sincere perspective, you're looking honestly at things, you're trying to do right, you're thinking good and trying to help others, then this will affect your whole life. And on the other hand, if you're evil and wanting to harm others and do harm to those around you, this also will flavor your life in every area. And so the Bible says in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, your perspective is so, so very important because it really flavors your life. And if you have the wrong perspective, it darkens your life greatly. And so the idea here is a simple, uncompounded, clear, sincere view of life. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 in our Bibles. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 22. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 22. This is the same word talking about single here in our text. Single in our text is the same word used here. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And so the singleness of heart is a sincerity, really wanting to do what is right because you believe that God blesses when you do what is right, as opposed to just wanting to please your boss with eye service as men pleasers. But as soon as he's not looking, all of a sudden the work slacks off. And this is the concept and idea of being evil or harmful or crooked. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in our Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And that's the same word that is used for evil or translated evil in our text. For all men have not faith. And so wicked and evil, it's harmful, it's crooked. It's viewing things the wrong way. It's seeing things as it's okay. I have the right to harm others, basically. It's a pride thing in our life. And this is the concept and idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in our Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 7. And the Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And so this is the concept and the idea of life is my perspective matters and how the lens that I view things through makes a difference in my life. And whether I view things through a sincere lens of honesty, wanting to know what is right, what God says is right and do it, or whether I view things through a mindset of seeing things to my benefit in the material world and that it's okay for me to harm others, to get ahead myself. This affects my life. If I'm going to see things clearly in this life, I'm going to need some help. The truth of the matter is that as a human being, my perspective is too limited, and that the only thing that I can do as a human being is to be sincere and sincerely seek help from God and outside sources such as God. That's the concept and idea. The human perspective is too limited to see things clearly. And so the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And let me just say, sometimes someone will say, well, I just don't have faith. But in reality, everybody has to live by faith, because unless you are omniscient, unless you know everything, then you cannot make decisions by sight. because you'd have to know everything. And so I have to get married by faith. I have to buy a house by faith. I have to buy a car by faith. I have to choose a mechanic by faith, because faith is just belief. And so when I go to buy a car, I gather all the evidence that I can. But then after a certain amount of time, it's like I've got to make a decision. So I believe this is the right car to buy. And so now you're operating by faith. Faith in what you have gathered, and that's good enough to make a decision on. And so everyone must live by faith, because faith is simply belief. In anything that I don't know, but I act on, I believe. The question is, what is that faith in? In other words, is my faith, the glasses that I put on, that I trust, are showing me the proper view of life? What is that? Is that light or is that darkness, the Bible says? The Bible says it can be either in life. And the Bible teaches that ultimately, if I'm sincere, if I have an honest and good heart, that when the seed of the Word of God falls in my life, I will respond to it because I want to know what is right and I want to do what is right. And so, if I put on those glasses of sincerity, so to speak, it will help me see things clearly. I think it leads me to put some lenses into my life that flavor everything that I do, that help me see things the way they really are. Number one, the lens of faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11. It matters whether I believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Because if I do not, it will flavor all of my life. And if I do, it will flavor all of my life as well. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so the Bible says that when I come to God and I come to life, I must come by faith. I must put on the glasses of faith and say, yes, I believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And therefore, if I do right, He will bless me. And if I do wrong, He will curse me. And so this affects all of my life. God, by definition, is the greatest conceivable being, possessing all great making properties. God is the standard of righteousness. Things are right because they are godly, and things are wrong because they are ungodly. Without God, there is no foundation for right and wrong, morality, or any objective purpose in life. And so unless I have the right perspective, unless my eye is single, uncomplicated, I believe God, that He is righteous, that He is holy, that He is, that He's just, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And this is an uncomplicated look at life. It says, yes, there is a Creator God who made all the world, and He is the standard of righteousness. And that if I live my life seeking His face, He will bless it. Without God, morality is a set of subjective societal values that helps us live together, that we have developed over time. But they are not in any way objective, nor do they carry any real value that we can impose on others in life. They carry no compulsion unless there is an earthly authority to enforce them. It kind of works like this. If God does not exist, if I look through the lens of life that says God does not exist, then the truth of the matter is things are only wrong when they would be harmful to me. And therefore, if I can do something and get away with it and benefit from it, and there's no earthly authority over me to enforce a law against it, then it's right for me to do in some. Not even right isn't even a word. It's neither right or wrong. There is no right or wrong if God does not exist. And so I will not see right and wrong clearly without believing that God exists and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And let me just say that if God does not exist, there is no objective purpose of the human being, and that our life is literally as meaningless as the dirt on the floor, and that our life is as meaningless as anything else that is here today and gone tomorrow. It is literally a vapor, only worse than a vapor because we're conscious in it. And so the meaninglessness really hits home if we think about it. But if God exists, and as He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, then there is a heaven and there is a hell. Then it does matter how I live my life. Then it does make a difference. Then I am here for a purpose and a reason. You see, it depends on what you put on, what you see through. That's what it depends on. And let me just say, if God does not exist, then we are literally animals. And do you know that in our public schools today, that's exactly what we teach our children, that we are animals. And then we wonder why they act like them, right? In reality, we're not animals. We are made in the image of God. And although we have a fleshly body, we are given a sentient mind. And therefore, we are made in the image of God and can live according to the mind and not to the body. And self-control has merit and value because God exists. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But if you don't put on the lenses of faith in God, then literally you have a meaningless, purposeless life with no right or wrong. Now, nobody lives that way. Everybody, even the atheist, says, yeah, some things are right and some things are wrong. But they have no reason to believe that. There's no sound reason to believe that anything's right and wrong. I mean, a volcano erupts and kills trees and animals and maybe even people. But it doesn't do evil. It's not wrong for it to do it. It just happens. And so is man without God. The lens of faith in God really shapes our whole life. Number two, the lens of Calvary shapes our whole life. John chapter 3. I think it is essential for every human being to look at life through the lens of faith in God. Else they get a distorted view that is not based in reality. And that's why the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, not in his mind, in his heart, there is no God. Because the truth of the matter is, that's what we make foolish decisions by, rushing to judgment without gathering the information. And so if I look through the lens of atheism at life, I come to a purposeless life with no morality. That's just reality from looking through that lens. Then secondarily, the lens of Calvary, and this is so essential. Many people who believe in God have never looked through the lens of Calvary. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so there are theists all over the world that don't look through the lens of Calvary. Because when you look through the lens of Calvary, you see things as they really are. That God is high and lifted up and holy and righteous. And that I am sinful and unworthy of His love, and yet He loved me. And that God loves me personally and individually. And that Jesus came to earth and died on the cross. And that He faced the terrible death of Calvary for me and for you. And let me just say, Christian, too often even we do not look through the lens of Calvary enough. We just don't look through the lens of Calvary enough. The Bible teaches, of course, that I'm to keep myself in the love of God. And I think a part of that is remembering Calvary. And let me say what the devil is always coming by and telling you. And I don't care who you are today. I don't care what your circumstances of life. The lie of the devil is God does not care about you. That's the lie of the devil. Because if the devil can convince me that God doesn't love me, then the devil can get me to do things against God that God says are wrong. Because let me just say, if God doesn't love me, then when He says, thou shalt not, He's trying to keep me from something good. He's trying to harm me. This was the devil's lie all the way back to the Garden of Eden when he came to Eve and he said to Eve, why can't you eat basically of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And she says, God has said it because we'll die from it. And he said, no, you won't die from it. Actually, you'll get something good. He was just telling her, God doesn't love you. God doesn't love you. But Calvary tells me that God does love me. And if I constantly look through the lens of Calvary, I see my sinfulness, yes, but I see that God created me and God knows my weakness, and yet He loves me. Calvary reminds me of God's love. It reminds me of my sinfulness. It reminds me of the hope of eternal life. It reminds me that God loves me. A few months ago, maybe even a year or so ago now, I was knocking on doors on the south side of Moorhead down by Concordia College, and I knocked on the door of a middle-aged man, and I began to talk to him, and he said, well, he said, I go to church and I'm kind of believe in God and I somewhat, he said, but I'm not really sure that God exists. And he said, and I said, well, have you ever looked into the evidence for the existence of God? And he said, well, a little bit. And we began to talk. And after a few minutes, he said, yeah, I admit the evidence is pretty overwhelming. And then I said, he said, that doesn't prove that God loves me. And that doesn't prove that God's good. Doesn't prove it. And I said to him, you're right. Just the existence of God doesn't prove that He's good and that He loves me. I said, but that's what Calvary is all about. And I said, when Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, He proved that God loves us and wants what's best for us. And he said, yeah, you got a point there. Because the reality is, it's hard to look at Calvary and hate God. It's hard to look at Calvary and fight against Him. It's hard to look at Calvary and not see things as they really are. God loves me. I'm sinful and He's good. And yet He's merciful and willing to work with me anyway. The lens of faith in God is essential, I think, to the human condition to see things clearly. The lens of Calvary is essential to see things as they really are. And finally, the lens of the Bible, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. The lens of the Word of God. Unfortunately, even some Christians that believe in God and even may have come to Calvary for salvation by putting their faith in Jesus Christ, and yet to them the Word of God is not valuable to illuminate their life. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible teaches that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible teaches that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the Bible teaches that this here, in this book, we have the mind of Christ. We can know what God thinks about just about everything. And although God doesn't necessarily talk about specifics in this book in a lot of ways, He does some. But He doesn't always talk about specifics, but He does always talk about philosophies of life that really matter, that we can apply specifically even in this modern day. And the lens of the Bible is so important. And so, of course, the lens of God's existence helps us see righteousness and purpose in life. The lens of Calvary helps us see our sin and God's love and God's way of salvation. And the lens of the Bible helps us see the proper philosophies of life and some specifics of what is right and wrong. And I know a lot of Christians today, and I remember listening to the radio a few years ago, and someone, they were debating a topic on the radio, and someone said, got on the radio, and it was basically a Christian talk show or something along those lines, and someone called in, and they basically said, well, on that topic, I know what the Bible says, and I'm a Christian, but that was meant for a different time, a different generation, and a different plan. And I'm just like, what in the world? Why even say you believe the Bible if you don't think it has any real corrective value in your life? I mean, I'll be honest. I don't like to wear glasses, personally. I mean, I don't like to. I wear contact lenses and they're a pain. I hate them, right? I wish I had perfect vision. I really wish I did in this life. I mean, I don't like sticking my finger in my eye every day and trying to pluck one in or pull one out. I think sometimes I'm literally, you know, poking myself in the eye for no apparent reason, right? But it's better than glasses. Glasses are even worse. You wear them on the outside. Some of you are wearing them today. They're inconvenient. You knock them off. They get broken. I mean, they're really a pain to a certain extent. And so why wear them? It's literally, you know, some people, there are some, it's kind of a thing that young people do today. They get glasses with nothing in them, right? There's no lens in there that has any corrective value. And they just stick them on and walk around. They think it looks stylish, right? And so that's the Christian. I mean, so many Christians today, the Bible is just, well, I'm a Christian because it's stylish, right? And they have no idea that the Bible actually means something. And they don't use it as corrective in their life. The Bible is the Word of God, and it details right and wrong to some things, and then gives philosophies to apply to pretty much everything. It details what is meaningful and worthwhile in life and what is worthless. It details how to live a life that is pleasing to God. I'm saying we're supposed to put the lenses of the Word of God into our life and see things through them. John chapter 12. John chapter 12 in our Bibles. John chapter 12. In verse number 35. John chapter 12 and verse number 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Isn't that interesting? He knoweth not whither he goeth. The Bible puts it this way in another place, talking about those who live their life without the perspective of God's existence. And it says of them, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they're going through life, and by their own admission, they'll say, we don't know what it's all about. I mean, think about this. When you go to the naturalist teacher or scientist who thinks the world is just chemical reactions and biological processes, they literally will say, well, there's nothing as that we know for certain in this life. They'll even say, truth is subjective and not objective. And they'd even say that anything that we know in science, we're not really saying we know it. We're saying that this is our best interpretation at this moment of time. And so they're basically admitting, we have no idea what's going on. We don't know where we're going in life. We don't know what the purpose of life is. We don't know how you should live your life or what the purpose of life is. And yet, so many people just follow them. Talk about the blind leading the blind. Hey, where are we going? I don't know. Where are we going? I don't know. Well, then why are we going? That's the next question. The wonderful thing about God's existence and Calvary and the Word of God is I'm going someplace. And I can know it. That's a wonderful thing. Without God, His love, and His mind, we wander lost through life. One person's opinion of where we're going is no better than the next. Imagine if they took us all here in this room and they dropped us out in the middle of the Amazon jungle with no equipment to know our way out. And imagine if we sat around there and finally someone said, well, I think we should go this way. Someone else said, well, I think we should go this way. Someone else said, I think we should go this way. The truth of the matter is, we shouldn't believe any of them. They're just guesses. Right? And the truth is in life that that's in where we are at as human beings. Dropped in the middle of this world and universe. If God didn't give us His Word, didn't show us His love through Calvary, we're dropped in the middle of the universe with nothing. And everybody's got an opinion of where we should go. But when you say why, they have no reasons. And of course, that's why the Bible is so powerful in our life. The lens of faith in the existence of God and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I mean, after all, everybody would probably agree you ought to do right. But why in the world should my right matter more than someone else's right? If you have to do right, the only way you could possibly know it is from God. What right is? It's the only possible way. The lens of faith in God, the lens of Calvary and God's love for us. And finally, that leads us to the lens of the Word of God and His philosophies of life that are the right approaches to life. I'm saying we should, especially those of us here today who claim the name of Christ, be using these corrective lenses to adjust our behavior in life. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God loves me and His mercy is available, and He will forgive me and give me opportunity to serve Him. And finally, His Word is right, and I am wrong. Let God be true, the Bible says, and every man a liar. So if I disagree with the Word of God, I'm wrong, and He's right. It's that simple.